calm, cool, collective, laid back, reserved. That's him. So because of that, he doesn't apply pressure to himself.
The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
Oh, I wish that was true. Coming to you from the Carter Subaru Studio. Welcome. Welcome to our top stories this hour. Before I get into The Big Lead, I do, once again, have for you a cancel culture update.
This is your cancel culture update.
There's a guy on YouTube who I enjoy, Awaken with JP, and he said, you know what we have to finally cancel with cancel culture?
We've been working hard at canceling things for quite a while now, and, well, we finally canceled culture. That was the last thing left for us at cancel culture to cancel. There's no more culture of any kind anywhere in society. We've canceled it all. So we're finally done now. We finally got rid of everything that we think is offensive, which turned out to be everything. We think we've made society a much better place by erasing all culture from it.
It is good to cancel culture, finally.
Now that we've cleansed society of everything that could possibly challenge you in some way, it's finally safe to be happy. But there is just one small downside, and it's tiny, I mean, barely noticeable, really. And that's that there's nothing to be happy about anymore, because we've canceled everything in society that inspires happiness and joy.
Yeah, but all that stuff was so offensive.
Music.
Some people don't know how to sing.
Sports.
They weren't inclusive to the unathletic community.
Giving birth.
Offensive to dead people.
Culinary arts.
It was just privilege in the face of hungry people.
Medical care.
It was offensive to people who don't have a disease.
Marriage.
Uninclusive to single people.
Art.
Offensive to people who only take things literally.
Religion.
Oppressive to communism.
Exercise.
Trying to get in better shape than you used to be is offensive to your past self.
Families.
They're hateful toward lonely people.
Books.
Uninclusive to the literate community.
Illiteracy.
Uninclusive to people who can read.
And we canceled freedom.
It was very insensitive to people with a lot of limiting beliefs.
I think those are all very good points. So finally, after canceling everything else, culture, you have been
canceled. This has been a cancel culture update.
Now back to your regularly scheduled program.
It takes so little to amuse me. Which leads nicely into this hour's Big Lead.
The Big Lead. Bizarro World.
As I told you earlier today, San Francisco has not gotten kids and teachers back in school. But at a school board meeting last night, they finally did something for their school society. San Francisco will rename 44 schools in the district because they're named after people who are offensive. Schools named after George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, Abraham Lincoln, even Democratic Senator Dianne Feinstein. It was a near unanimous vote by the San Francisco Board of Education after years of debate. And a board member said that canceling the names of 44 schools, and I'm quoting now, "It's a message to our families, our students, and our community. It's not just symbolic." Okay, can I give some advice? I think I've been around long enough. I think I've accumulated enough life wisdom. I think I'm a pretty good dad. And let me tell the people who pretend like they're offended by a school name, you know, like Lincoln High School, which we have one in Seattle, one in Tacoma here. Because I know that people are not genuinely offended by the name of a school. They've been told that they should be offended, and they maybe even have convinced themselves. Because I have people, you know, who will always message me, "Don't tell me how I feel." No, but I will tell you about reality. If somebody is offended by Lincoln High School, there's really something else wrong. That's not it for you. The reason Dianne Feinstein, who's been like a Democratic icon in California, The reason that they have to change that name is when she was mayor of San Francisco, they had a U.S. flag and a Confederate flag, and they were damaged or destroyed by vandals, and she replaced the two flags. This is back in the 70s. Because Dianne Feinstein replaced a Confederate flag that had flown for 100 years at City Hall when it was destroyed by vandals. She did it almost 50 years ago. And because of that, they have to change the name of the school that's named after Dianne Feinstein. Now, nobody is actually genuinely offended because of something Dianne Feinstein did 50 years ago that she would never do today. Nobody is. But people are told you should be offended by this. And there are people who, instead of doing good, productive things with their lives, they fill their void with this phony outrage. And we all know it's not real. We all get that. But when you have a school board, now they're going to spend tens of millions of dollars in San Francisco. They got to change all the signage. They got to change out all the, you know, the nameplates on the buildings, all the letterhead that they have, every sports team uniform, band uniform, choirs. If the choir has like a, you know, the letters of the school on their robes, whatever, they got to change all of that out. They're going to spend tens of millions of dollars to fix a problem that does not exist. I spoke wrong. Feinstein replaced the Confederate flag at City Hall in the 80s, not the 70s, as I said. Some of the other schools, John Muir, they're changing the name of that. And on it goes. They will spend tens of millions of dollars. They still don't have the kids and the teachers back in the building, but they will do it for these pretend offenses. And again, if you think you're offended by this, there's something else going on, and you really should get to the root of what's actually going on in your life and has created this need to be outraged over Abraham Lincoln High School. They said Lincoln has to be removed because of his treatment of First Nation peoples. So the great emancipator has to be removed. And, you know, there's something like this going on up in Bellingham, at Bellingham High School. The nickname for Bellingham High School, they're the Red Raiders. And their logo is a red hawk, a red-tailed hawk. And they now have to change the logo, the mascot, at Bellingham High School. Now, why is that? Well, because up until about 2000, the red-tailed hawk that is their logo, it was connected to Native American imagery. And the school said, you know what, we'll take out all the Native American connection. We'll change the logo, or the mascot will be the Red Raiders. And we'll keep the red-tailed hawk. So Red Raiders and a bird. No. They said because 21 years ago, that red cartoon bird was connected to Native American imagery, the much more enlightened, and that's the other part of this. This is also this lie that has been foisted upon kids and activists that they are somehow more enlightened and more feeling and more caring than their predecessors. They're already separated from all the Native American stuff. But because it was connected, and if that's the case, then we have to change the name of King County, which was named after Vice President Rufus King back in the 1850s. And they said, he was a slave owner. And they said, well, we'll keep the name King County, but it'll be named after Martin Luther King. Well, if you're going to use the Bellingham High School approach, you can't keep calling King County, King County. May I suggest Dory County as a non-offensive to everybody replacement? Here's what's going up in Bellingham from Q13.
Students are learning about how systemic racism affects our society. And I think we're all really eager to start to dismantle that system. And I think it's...
Okay, that's the student body president. I'm sure he's a very nice kid. But, man, when you hear kids talking like that, and when they say words that are just repeating these PC phrases that have been fed to them ever since they were in kindergarten, it's, to me, it's very sad to hear kids embracing something that is ultimately so meaningless.
Students are learning about how systemic racism affects our society. And I think we're all really eager to start to dismantle that system. And I think it starts in our own communities.
I love the way that this is a collective process and it's really a journey. So this is not, let's just change this name or this mascot. It's really, how do we educate our entire community?
Yeah, so red-tailed hawk is offensive. It really is unbelievable. All right, next up in the big lead.
The big lead update.
Down in Tacoma, there is still all kinds of controversy about the police officer who drove out of a mob that had encircled his car, was kicking it, hitting it, threatening the police officer. The cop drove over one person who has been released, I'm told, from the hospital. A couple people suffered some injuries. I heard one had a broken ankle. There's a great Facebook page, the Tecompton Files, that chronicles crime in Tacoma. Very popular. They also get lots of great exclusive stuff. But the guy who operates the page, who goes by Donut Operator, I kind of enjoyed watching his take because, as I said, my view of it is dramatically different from most others in the media, because all I heard was this cop drove into a crowd. And so there is no reasonable interpretation that he drove into a crowd. He drove up in an empty lane, then the mob encircled him, and he drove out of a crowd. That's not just semantics. That's a hugely important difference, driving into a crowd versus driving out of a crowd that's threatening him. So I enjoyed the take of the guy from the Tecompton Files.
You guys know I stay neutral. I stay in the middle of things. I try not to give my opinion on too many things. But, you know, if you attack a cop car in a giant crowd and you get ran over, that's your fault.
And, you know, he showed pictures of the shoe sole footprints on the side of the car afterwards.
Oh, so they were kicking the police car and beating on it. Huh. Surrounded by dozens of people who are beating the heck out of your car, and you accelerate to get away from them. That's crazy. Why would you do that?
Why would you get away from people kicking your car and threatening you personally? And he went on.
I spoke to an officer who works for this department, and they said that this was possibly planned with people in the parking garage throwing objects at officers. The officer was surrounded with people attempting to open doors, break windows, and drag them out. He warned them several times to get away or he would drive out of there. The racers in the area have become extremely bold and aggressive, blocking interstates, surrounding officers, throwing fireworks at officers, and threatening to shoot people. They even killed two people in a vehicular homicide a couple of months ago.
So, a little perspective that you're not hearing in too many other places from Donut Operator at Tecompton Files. Next up in the big lead.
The big lead, big local.
I tell you what, we need term limits. I have more from Governor Jay Inslee, and I always tell you when I disagree with the governor, I will also always tell you when I agree with him. And while he would never have said anything negative about the teachers' union when he was still running for governor, meaning the last 10 years pretty much, now that he's in his third and final term, he doesn't have any more elections in the state. Jay Inslee will dare say things that the teachers' union doesn't want to hear. And I appreciated this when he said, no, we can't give up, because the teachers' union is saying, we need to all be vaccinated. And Jay Inslee is saying, we're not going to give a a vaccination to a healthy 25-year-old teacher than we do, you know, 70-year-old.
So if you do other folks, it means one of the older people who might be 100 years of age can't get vaccinated. And I just do not believe that 25-year-old teachers think they should get in line ahead of their 80-year-old grandparents. I fundamentally don't believe that. I think if you ask teachers, they'll tell you they agree with me.
I mean, this is shocking to hear Jay Inslee speak against a teachers union that thought they had him bought, paid for, and stored in their hip pocket. That's why we need term limits, because politicians can be honest. They don't have to sell out all the time. They don't have to lie all the time to appease their donors. And this was refreshing.
9 out of 10 of the deceased are over 60 of, years of age. We are vaccinating teachers who are over 65 and those over 50 in multi-generational hospitals today. But that's the people who die. And it seems to me that I think the educators I know think that we ought to vaccinate the people whose lives are at risk today. And that's these people.
Okay, now I will call Jay Inslee out on one thing here. If you're saying, let's reopen the schools because 9 out of 10 who are dying are over 65, and that's the real problem, then why don't you reopen restaurants and bars where the vast majority of the customers are in their 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s? If you're saying it's safe for teachers to go back to school because they're not over 65, the vast majority of them, why don't you reopen the bars and restaurants where the vast majority of customers and workers are not over the age of 65? That is an inconsistency where I cannot figure out the data, daddy.
I believe that we can open up our schools safely now, as long as we use proper hygiene and good systems. We have proven this. We have proven this because there's over 100,000 pupils in the state of Washington who've been doing this safely for months now. This is not an academic exercise. All you have to do is go to schools around the state who are doing this successfully with minimal, very minimal in-school transmission. And so the fear of this is understandable, but it's not backed up by our experience, because our experience has shown you can operate a school safely. We're doing it all over the state of Washington today.
Yes, their public schools have had kids back. Private schools have largely had kids in class since the beginning of the school year without any problems. The teacher unions are just simply lying because they want their members to get maximum pay for the least amount of work. And working from home is much easier. Man, that is the power of term limits, though. Jay Inslee doesn't have any more gubernatorial re-elections, so he can now finally say stuff that he never would have dared say last summer or fall when he still had an election to win. That's one of the many things that makes me sick about politics. That, you know, whether it's Jay Inslee lying about never raising taxes or lying about not knowing about Chaz Chop because he wanted the vote of Antifa, apparently, versus being freed up to be truthful when you don't have a re-election. We got to get term limits. And that is your big lead this hour.
The Big Lead on Cairo Radio.
And then there's our president. And man, jobs are disappearing by the 100,000s. And by the way, any Joe Biden voter who said Trump was a liar, you got some tough defending to do here now with your guy. Details coming up next here on the Dory Monson Show. Leachman. That's a good long life, though. 94 years old. I kind of had a crush on her when I was a kid, when she was on the Mary Tyler Moore show. She was Mary Tyler Moore's snarky neighbor. When you're 12 years old, you have a crush on everybody. But I kind of had a crush on her. And then she got her own show called Phyllis. And you want to hear a very quick, very boring Cloris Leachman story, Nicole? I'm going to assume she's going to say yes here. Okay, she can't hear me. She can't talk. My friend Kennedy, who's on Fox News all the time now, she used to work in the building. She had a radio show on our one of our sister stations. And she and I became really good friends. And my family and I, my wife and my girls and I, we went down Kennedy was living in L.A. at the time. And so we spent, I think, a couple nights at her house. But she had a pilot. She had gotten her agent had gotten her a pilot for a sitcom. And so my wife and girls and I, we went to the taping of this pilot. And Cloris Leachman played the lead. And so she was, you know, as you heard in our newscast there, she had a very accomplished acting career, very long career, and was still doing stuff until not that long ago. So that's the key. That's how I think you live to age 94, is you just keep working and doing something that you love all the time. Otherwise, what?
Also laughing. She was so funny. I mean, I think my generation kind of, or my age range, remembers her best from Facts of Life and maybe Beverly Hillbillies movie, I think, right? She was in the movie.
Was she?
Or the remake version. Yeah, the newer one. Anyway, but she just laughed. She was so funny. I think I think work hard and laugh a lot is what's important. That's the secret.
Yeah, exactly. So 94, that's a good long life. I, you know, if somebody came to me right now and said, I'll give you till 94 and you can be kind of healthy between now and then, but you won't get a day past 94. I think I'd take that offer.
It's funny, really
Norman Lear. Well, Norman Lear, who's the, you know, one of the most prolific, maybe the most successful television show producer of all time, you know, All in the Family. I mean, million shows. We had him on our show in the studio with us a couple of years ago. And Norman Lear is over 100, and he's still very vibrant. And he's still producing stuff. Past age, I think he's over 100 now. And he said if somebody came up to him and said, that deal, I'll give you life to 110, but not a day past that. He said, I wouldn't take the deal. I'll roll the dice because I think I'll keep living past 110. And that's fantastic. If you feel so good and vibrant and healthy, and he was a great interview. Oh, he's not quite 100. He's 98, Norman Lear. But he would not take that deal. But I would take 94 if somebody could offer that to me with certainty right now.
I don't know. Do you think you would live every day to the fullest if you knew you had 30 more years left, whatever, 40 more years left? Do you think you would live every day to the fullest, or you'd be like, oh, I have 40 more years?
I doubt it because, you know, I know that I don't have much more than that at best right now. And I don't live every day to the fullest right now. Which is what, you know, it's just sucked so much life out of all of us, this whole pandemic and the shutdown. My wife and I, we were invited to dinner at friends on Saturday night, and we haven't done much of that, but we went and we laughed and we had a great time. And you know, every once in a while I get these reminders of what life used to be like before March of last year. And I do realize that life today, it's like we've got this shroud over us. And we still have joys and we still, you know, laugh. We still do things that we love to a certain extent. But it's not the unbridled joy of a year and a half ago. And that's too bad. That's a real shame. So, Cloris Leachman, 94, has passed. Okay, a couple of other things that I wanted to make sure we get to here. Joe Biden is just killing jobs left and right. We told you yesterday, we played the audio from the welders who worked on the XL pipeline. And with a swipe of the pen, 11,000 jobs disappeared. And these are good jobs, blue collar jobs. Good, you know, you can make $100,000 a year as a welder. And you put in some good hard day's work on a pipeline in remote areas. And all of the opposition, it's phony, because a pipeline is every bit as safe as the trucks and the trains that'll now have to transport the oil and the gas. But because you have to put on show if you are a leftist politician, Joe Biden, one of his first things he did was he wiped out 11,000 jobs. And now he's wiping out 100,000 jobs. He signed an executive order to ban new fracking. Now, remember during the debate with Donald Trump, when Joe Biden said, absolutely, I am not going to ban fracking.
It's all a pipe dream. But you know what we'll do? We're going to have the greatest economy in the world. But if you want to kill the economy, get rid of your oil industry. You want... And what about fracking?
All right, let me allow Vice President Biden to respond.
I never said I oppose fracking.
You said it on tape.
I did. Show the tape. Put it on your website.
I'll put it on.
Put it on the website. The fact of the matter is he's flat lying.
Yeah, Donald Trump was lying because Joe Biden says, I never said I would ban fracking. In an executive order signed today, Joe Biden banned any new fracking on federal lands, violating his campaign promise to not ban fracking. So, again, this is where people who would say, how can you support Donald Trump? He's a liar. Look, Joe Biden's a liar. Barack Obama was a liar. George W. Bush is a liar. Bill Clinton. Oh, was he a liar? It's like in our state. I won't raise taxes. I don't know what CHOP is. Jay Inslee will tell lies. They all do. And to pretend, and this is like the great delusion. People believe they're candid. Now, you may agree on positions. That's fine. But to believe that politicians are morally superior to each other, I just don't believe that Hillary Clinton or Joe Biden were or are morally superior to Donald Trump. I just don't. Biden lied about fracking. I think wiping out hundreds of thousands of jobs with swipes of the pen, I think that's a reprehensible thing to do to people who are they are going to be struggling to replace that income in this economy. Reprehensible. All right, let me take a quick time out. Then we'll count down our favorite sound bites of the day. Awesome audio coming up. And down the stretch we come. What a day, what a show, what a show, what a day. It is that time when we like to count down our favorite sound bites of the day.
This is Doring Monson's Awesome Audio Clips of the Day.
Okay, all the rage on the world of Wall Street is GameStop stock, which has gone up 20x in less than 3 weeks. And what's happened in the last 24 hours, it more than doubled today. And that's because there were these hedge funds that had huge short positions in the stock. And then some other people started running the stock price up. And the shorters got margin calls, and they had to buy the rising price to cover their positions, and the stock just exploded. So a company that was valued at $3 billion just a few days ago is now valued at $21 billion. None of it makes sense. So at the White House press conference today, Jen Psaki, the spokesperson, she was asked about GameStop stocks, and talk about a non sequitur.
I was concerned about the stock market activity we're seeing around GameStop, and now with some other stocks as well, including the subsidiary or whatever, the company that was Blockbuster. And have there been any conversations with the SEC about how to proceed?
Well, I'm also happy to repeat that we have the first female Treasury Secretary and a team that's surrounding her, and often questions about market we'll send to them. But
What does that have to do with anything? The question was about GameStop stock. And Jen Psaki says, well, I'm happy to repeat, we have the first female Treasury Secretary. Is that the answer to every question? You know, I didn't hear that when Obama was president. They didn't answer everything by talking about his race. What this administration is obsessed with race and gender and orientation. Are you doing anything about GameStop stock? Well, we have a female Treasury Secretary. How cool is that, you guys? Stop asking questions. We have the first woman in charge of Treasury. Why are you asking me other questions? Okay, down in Los Angeles at the city council meeting, Democrats don't really like the Pledge of Allegiance. A lot do, but there are many who don't. You know, people like, when Saddle Congressman Jim McDermott, he always refused to say under God when he would say the Pledge of Allegiance. He hated under God. So there are a lot of Democrats who just don't seem to like the Pledge of Allegiance. At the L.A. City Council, they asked, and they're all Democrats on the council, they asked one of the members, Kevin DeLeon, to recite the pledge. It could have gone better.
Madam President, today is Tuesday and time for the flag salute.
Mr. DeLeon, can you please lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance this morning?
Thank you very much, Madam President. It would be an honor. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America. Under invincible, pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America. For which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Oof is right. And then finally, at a Virginia school board meeting where the schools are closed, the teachers' union refuses to go to work, this dad kind of epitomized the frustration a lot of parents and families are feeling.
You should all be fired from your day jobs, because if your employers knew that you were more inefficient than the DMV, you would be replaced in a heartbeat. I literally just finished a conference call because I'm having to multitask to be here to address you guys. You're a bunch of cowards hiding behind our children as an excuse for keeping schools closed. You think you're some sort of martyrs because of the decisions you're making, when the statistics do not lie that the vast majority of the population is not at risk from this virus. The garbage workers who pick up my freaking trash risk their lives every day more than anyone in this school system. Figure it out or get off the podium. Because you know what? There are people like me and a lot of other people out there who will gladly take your seat and figure it out. It's not a high bar. Raise the freaking bar.
I'm going to give staff an opportunity to make sure that the podium and microphone have been...
Will you wipe it down ahead of time, please? Because we don't want anything to get
done. Sir, your time is finished. Can you please leave the boardroom?
It's okay. Don't worry.
Thank you.
I'll be back next time. And the next time. You open the freaking school!
Can I ask the deputy to please make sure the gentleman leaves the boardroom?
Yeah, get the police out there. You don't want an upset citizen expressing their frustration to you. You're above that. I understand the frustration. I wish our teachers' unions in our state would come around. Okay, I got to get out of here. Tom Curlier coming up next. God bless you in these crazy times, and I'll see you back here tomorrow. High noon. Later.
This show is truly good for nothing.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. You're really a fantastic audience.